Hello and welcome to the Silver King's War. I'm Michael Sievers, the writer, producer, and creator of this podcast series about my father's Second World War as a B-26 bombardier. Today we will continue in the third play of the trilogy, The Silver Fields of Northbrook, which follows our hero, the Silver King's family, from 1955 to 1960. In Northbrook, Illinois. This is scene one, entitled Beautiful Swimmer, and it's the summer of 1959. Michael's younger sister, Cindy, was a beautiful, powerful swimmer. She loved Glencoe Beach and Lake Michigan. To the Silverfields family, summer weekend rides to the lake were exciting minutes before joyful days. Perhaps they knew these were the best days of their Northbrook years. The family couldn't know that these would be the best years of their lives ever. A Saturday morning meant packing the 1958 silver Chevrolet Bel Air sedan trunk with blankets, chairs, beach basket towels, buckets, shovels, and a cooler filled with sandwiches and drinks. The Good Humor truck was a steady sentinel for sun-splashed kids with change-filled pockets. Dreamsicles went fast. These were the days where Cindy reigned, a sun princess at home in Lake Michigan's waves, a beautiful swimmer. As this scene begins, Michael steps from the shadows to stand beneath a single light and read a letter that he has written to Lucille and Lester Stern. Dear Aunt Lucille and Uncle Lester, you should see Cindy swim. She's a natural who loves the water, a beautiful swimmer. I imagine she'll be a powerful competitive swimmer for Glenbrook High School one day. The lake is cold, but Cindy's focus and joy makes the temperature a minor issue. I, of course, fear the cold and love the waves and swimming to the sandbar with Dad. Whatever we do can't match our beautiful swimmer. I love and miss you, Michael. Now the lights fade, and Michael stands completely in the shadow on the stage. Moments go by, and that single light comes up again. And Michael reads a poem by the poet Lewis Simpson, written in January of 1959. Just a month before the Silverfields' beautiful swimmer, Cindy, would be 8. Michael begins. The good night. He stood still by her bed, watching his daughter breathe, the dark and silver head, the fingers curled beneath, and thought, though she may have intelligence and charm and luck, they will not save her life from every harm. The lives of children are dangerous to their parents with fire, water, air, and other accidents, and some, for a child's sake, anticipating doom. Empty the world to make the world safe as a room. Who could endure the pain that was Lacoon's? Twisting, he saw again in the same coil his sons. Plumed in his father's skill, young Icarus flew higher toward the sun, until he fell in rings of fire. A man who cannot stand children's perilous play, with lifted voice and hand, drives the children away. Out of sight, out of reach, the tumbling children pass. He sits on an empty beach, holding an empty glass. Who said that tenderness will turn the heart to stone? May I endure her weakness as I endure my own. Better to say good night to breathing flesh and blood each night as though the night were always only good. And now the lights dim at the conclusion of scene one of Beautiful Swimmer. Lewis Aston Morantz Simpson was an American poet born in Jamaica. He won the 1964 Pulitzer Prize for poetry for his work entitled At the End of the Open Road. Lewis Simpson was born on March 27, 1923. Just a few weeks before our hero, the Silver King, who was born on April 23, 1923. Simpson was the son of Rosalind and Ashton Simpson. His father was Scottish and African. His mother was born in Russia. And Simpson didn't find out that he was of Jewish descent until his teen years. Lewis Simpson emigrated to the United States at 17 and began attending Columbia University, where he studied with Mark Van Doren. During World War II, from 1943 to 1945, he was a member of the elite 101st Airborne Division and fought in France, the Netherlands, Belgium, and Germany. Simpson was a runner for the company captain, which involved transporting orders from company headquarters to officers on the front line. His company was involved in a bloody battle with German forces on the west bank of what is now the Carentan, France Marina. And Simpson wrote his poem, Carentan, O Carentan, about the experience of U.S. troops being ambushed there. In the Netherlands, he was involved in Market Garden, and at Veghel, his company lost 21 men in a brutal shelling while hiding in a local churchyard. At Bastogne, bitterly cold temperatures made the 101st Division's work very difficult. After the war, Simpson attended the University of Paris, and then he returned to the U.S. and was an editor in New York, going on to complete his B.A. at Columbia University's School of General Studies in 1948, and completed his M.A. and his doctorate at Columbia in 1950 and 1959. He taught at Columbia, the University of California at Berkeley, and the State University of New York at Stony Brook. Edward Hirsch, writing in the Washington Post about Simpson's work, described it as the terror and beauty of life with a wry sense of humor and a mysterious sense of fate. And about Simpson's Pulitzer Prize-winning collection at the end of The Open Road, Hirsch wrote, "A sustained meditation on the American character. The moral genius of this book is that it traverses the open road of American mythology and brings us back to ourselves. It sees us not as we wish to be, but as we are." Lewis Simpson, born in the colony of Jamaica, died on September 14th of 2012 at Stony Brook, New York. He was 89. And you are listening to The Silver King's War.